Last week I spoke about
Vance Havner.
When we looked at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And I quoted Vance Havner, "We are suffering today from a species of Christianity as dry as dust, as cold as ice, as pale as a corpse, and as dead as King Tut. We are not suffering from a lack of correct heads, but rather from a lack of consumed hearts." All right, we need to make a microphone check here. It's turned on here. Must be the batteries, because it was the inside went off and I turned it back on and it went off. So for those of you listening, those of you that are listening over the internet, we had a technical problem with the microphone, so that's being fixed. And so let me repeat. You can edit it out, Amy, if you need to. Okay. Vance Havner wrote, "We are suffering today from a species of Christianity as dry as dust, as cold as ice, as pale as a corpse, as dead as King Tut. We are not suffering from a lack of correct heads, but rather a lack of consumed hearts."
Amen.
Through the years, what I found that I was doing quite frequently was preaching on the theme of living to please God. And that is so absolutely necessary, that we are to live to please God. Seems like an obvious, doesn't it? Do we even need to state it? Well, let me ask the question. Are there any people in a church that aren't living for God? Of course there are. Are we all living for God as good as we can, as close as we can? Of course, again, we all need to move forward in that respect. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I want to explain it a little bit with an exposition of the verse. You notice in verse 14, it starts with the word I. It's personal. It's applicable. This verse applies to all, but it is experienced individually. Our Lord holds us personally responsible for achieving the goal. You are responsible for yourself, not for others. Nor can you hold others responsible for yourself. This is a personal matter. Just as salvation is personal. God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, he goes from the world down to the one person, whosoever. And this goal here, I press toward the mark, is personal. The illustration Paul uses in this verse is that of running a race. You run a race. You cannot run another life, okay? You run your own race. You should not try to run another person's life. Now, parents, there may be a fine line here. You are responsible as a parent in the matter of the Christian life to lead your children to Christ.
Amen.
To influence them, to follow the Lord, but you can't make them do it. You can't do it for them. It can make a parent feel more comfortable. It may make a parent feel safer if they are enforcing on their children something, but that doesn't mean that it's going to take, that it's going to last. Okay? And I realize that when they're young, when they live in your home, there's what I always refer to as house rules. You're in this family. There's certain things that this family does and does not do, and children must conform to that. But again, it's a difficult balancing act to cause them to live as you know will be good for them, but at the same time to recognize they have to choose that. Now, if I knew exactly how to achieve that, it'd be marvelous, okay? But I know it is necessary. Then here's another one. When they begin to go out of the house, they're going to make some choices that are different than when they were in your house. Now, when each of my children, my daughters, when they got married, I reminded them, just because you said I do doesn't mean that I stop being me. Okay? Now, how I went about expressing myself changed. It really did. I wanted to express myself, and I often would say, you know, I got something I got to tell you. Because if I don't tell you and the bad thing happens, I'll feel awful that I didn't tell you what I thought about. And so then I will share it with them. And so how you go about being a parent when they, and listen, you got to let them grow up. They're going to grow up. You may think of them as your little kid, but they're not. And if you want to keep a relationship with them, you've got to let them make their own mistakes. And my wife had an excellent way of helping me to achieve this. She would remind me of things I did. And what's our youngest one is how old?
48.
Okay, our youngest one is 48. But back when she was 18 and 19 was a different thing. And it was easier to hold on when they're 18 and 19 because they're awful close to being that age when I was the determiner. Then they become the determiner. And you wanted your mama to let you make mistakes. You wanted your dad to not be, you don't try and run my life, Dad. Well, depending on what kind of dad it was, you didn't say it. You just thought it. because if you said it, we won't go there. But you get the idea. It's personal. Now listen, the Christian life is the same way. Through the years, I had a fellow send me an email, and he said, it's so frustrating to see people fight against the Holy Spirit. And my reply to him was, yes, indeed it is, but you can't make people to do right. And so whether it's parentally with your children, now again, when they're young, you have the responsibility to not let them go against the house rules. But even how we do that is so important, okay? And I'd encourage you to do that the way my wife did it, not the way I did it, okay? It really works a whole lot better. Now, I think she needed my strong hand right there with her, okay? I really do. But I just know the way it can be for us men. Us men, we can just be too hard and too harsh sometimes. And there's got to be a balance there. Yeah. Isn't that something, how God gives us wives to be that balance?
Yes, sir.
You know, I was always so happy when Pat would say something to me to correct me. Okay? You know, I'd say, oh, sweetheart, thank you so much. You be quiet back there. Thank you so much for that advice. Now, I didn't like to hear it. But why didn't I like to hear it? Because I knew she was right. Why is it that we don't like to hear sometimes from the Sunday school teacher? Why is it we don't like to hear from the preacher? Because we know they're right. And it's part of this old nature to not want to be corrected. But the Apostle Paul says, Now what did he do? He says, I press. He pursued. In verse 12, it says, but I follow after. And this word press carries the same idea of following after what God sets for us. And when I try to understand what a word means, if I can find not only a synonym, but if I can find one that begins with the same letter, like press and pursue. And that's what press, the idea that it carries here, to pursue, not in a lackadaisical manner, an intense pursuit. I mean, a real ardent going after it. But then Paul says, of all of Paul's attention was on the goal before him. I press, I pursue toward the mark. Now, when you go toward something, if I'm going toward Randy, okay, I'm telling you, Randy, I'm going toward you. Randy, I'm following after you. See what I'm doing? I'm following after Randy. How am I doing following after Randy? I'm not. How come? Oh, he's over there. And I'm going this way, huh? Boom, I'll eventually get there. But thanks for telling me. I appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to do a different Luke. Okay? Why? Come back over here. Why?
Because it's closer.
It's closer to go right over there than go out around there? Think it'll work better?
Yes.
Why will it work better?
Get there.
It's closer. Okay. All right, well, I'll take your advice and I'll follow along and I'm doing it. How am I doing?
Not good.
Not good, huh? What happened? Did I get sidetracked?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, those of you that are listening on the internet, our microphone may have not picked up some of the noise that you heard, but I was illustrating with a young man sitting to my right, and what I did was walk to my left. And one of the other young men in the church, when I asked him how I'm doing, he said, not so good. And I said, why? And he pointed to where the other direction. And so I said, okay, I'll get there. And I proceeded to go in the wrong direction, and he motioned me back. If we had a video, you'd see this. The young man, motioned me back and told me I should go directly toward him, which I started walking that way, but then I got sidetracked. In another aisle of the church, I wandered up there. And you see, folks, that's how it is when it comes to our following. Here the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His attention was on the goal. And he moved, it says, toward. He says, I press toward. And one of the problems that we have in the Christian life is we want to make ourselves think we're following the Lord, but we don't press toward His mark.
That's right.
We get sidetracked with other ideas, other thoughts, other interests. The object. You see, Paul said, I press toward the mark. The mark was the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But the object is set before us. And it's at a distance which a runner would look and see the goal line, or if he couldn't see it, he knew the goal line was there, and he would run in the race to do what? Get to the finish line. And I'm afraid too many times, as Vance Havner said, we got a lot of head knowledge on things, but we're not pursuing, we're not pressing toward the goal. The mark is the goal. And then another thing to think of with this verse is, what was Paul's goal? And I already stated it was the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul sought the prize, the high calling. And too many times we're satisfied with lesser things. We could be on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being high, we could be living at an 8 or a 9, but we're satisfied with a 4 or 5. And we're satisfied with the 4 or 5 because where we started out at. A lot of us started out at it minus the 0. Okay, a lot start out at minus 5. So if they get to 3 or 4, man, they've come a long way. There's a big change in their life. Things are different. But Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And so we ought not to be satisfied. Now listen, one of the reasons that we get satisfied when we shouldn't be is because what happened is we once lived in a worldly culture. Maybe a person would drink alcohol, smoke tobacco, do drugs. They go to the movie and watch naked people. You know, oh, I don't watch naked ones. Yeah, listen, there's so little dress on them. They may as well be naked, because you might have less imagination than if they show you just a little bit. Well, that's the kind of movies people used to go to. And now they clean up their act. And now they don't go to those kind of movies. They used to go to a bar. And they don't go to a bar anymore. There's a lot of things that people used to do. And then they get saved. I mean, actually, truly get saved. And then a lot changes. And they live a better life, a cleaner life. But they're still, because they started out at minus 5, they're still only at a 3 or 4. Now you see, they actually are 9 points ahead of where they started out. So there's a big difference. Their family can't get over. Why, they go to church all the time. And the fact that they go to church all the time, the family sees that and they call them the religious ones. And they have nicknames they give to them. And so what happens is then those Christians can get satisfied at a 3 or 4. Now God says, I want you to live at an 8 or a 9. You say, what about a 9 or a 10? Hey, listen, let's just get you to 8 or 9 at this point. Okay? They want to live in an 8 or 9, but they're satisfied down lower. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Not the mediocre calling, not the middle of the line. It's wonderful where God brought us from, but the focus isn't on where we came from, it's on where we're going. I was watching documentary on Jackie Robinson and how he broke into the major leagues and did so with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the Dodgers always ought to be Brooklyn Dodgers. This idea of wherever they're at out in the West Coast, that they ought to change the Dodger name if they're going to leave Brooklyn. That's just my opinion. But Jackie Robinson said that he learned in the minor leagues, and he named the man he learned it from, that when you steal a base, he said, you're looking at the base you're going to, not where you came from. And my friend, when you get saved, you're to be looking at where you're going to, not where you came from.
That's right. Yes,
you rejoice where you came from, but the goal isn't to look back where you came from. The goal is to go forward. The prize of the high calling of God. And again, listening on the internet, if you lost me, it's because I tore the mic off my tie. Again, if it was a video, you'd get to see that. But we're just glad you're listening on the internet. And I trust that God will use this message to be a help to you. God does not intend for any believer to idle in neutral, and certainly he never intends for the Christian to backslide. So let me conclude by reading the verse, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, I pray that by the work of your Spirit in our hearts, we may be able to see ourselves not only grow, but to move forward and upward in that growth experience. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we're going to do as Pastor suggested, that we have a prayer here.